Good evening, everybody, and welcome to meeting number 10 of Frodsham Town Council's Amenities Committee. Agenda item number one is apologies for absence. Jo, do we have any apologies for absence this evening?
We have apologies from Councillor Holman for personal reasons, and I just want to note that Jason Moorcroft has resigned from this committee.
Okay, thank you very much, Jo. Agenda item number two, declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest that we need noting for items on the agenda this evening?
Green Lucy. Gates for me.
Green gates for Lucy. Thank you, Lucy. Agenda item number three is group participation. We do have a member of the group this evening. Would you like to participate?
Yes, please. Surprisingly, yes.
Brilliant.
First of all, commendation. I'd like to commend the council actually changing contractors for cutting the grass. In the old days, I used to have to ring up town clerk every spring and say, please, can you get the grass cut? And she always did. But now I don't have to do that. It's because it's done very reliably, very well, and actually it's great. I mean, I'm particularly interested in Townfield Lane because that's a kids play up there on the foot for soccer and running around, etc. So it's much, much better. The second one is a question and a suggestion. Matt and I were doing a run-up Churchfield the other day. I noticed, because I'm interested in these things, the apple trees haven't been pruned. And normally you prune your apple trees in before early March. I've done mine at home. And I mean, it sounds trivial, but it's not, because you're proud of the orchards. Yeah. But they need to show they're actually being looked after by well, looked after well. Not only that, I read on the Festival of Walks, the Climate Action Frodsham leaflet that came out today. There's going to be a Festival of Walks round the orchards specifically. I don't think I want to be showing them actually so like not looked after. I think they need to have some kind of look good.
Can I just make a comment on that? So we've got the community orchards on the agenda. We're arranging for Mersey Forest to come and do a survey. Yeah. We have added pruning to the SLA, but we've got it at the back end of the year.
Okay, well, that's back end of the year is right for pre-spring. But you can prune apple trees in the summer as well. It means that they'll have 2 years growth on them if you leave until the next year.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit, they really need.
So that is something that we can bring up with Mersey Forest, who are coming out on the 9th of April.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. I mean, they could do with being done soonish, but you'll get it done soonish. As soon as practical, really.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. Yes. Okay, with that, Jane?
Thank you.
Great. Agenda item number four is approval of the minutes. So you should have been cited on the minutes of the meeting that was held on the 12th of February, which is included in your meeting pack. Is everyone cited, and are you happy that they're a true reflection of the meeting?
Yep.
Okay, Jo, they're approved. I'll sign those for you. Agenda item number five, just to note, this is a committee vacancy. There's currently a vacancy on this committee. I'm aware that Councillor Wade is interested in joining, as are a number of other councillors, I think. And I believe Mark as well. So what we'll have an agenda item for the next full council meeting, which is going to be held on the 25th of March, and hopefully get some new members into the Amenities Committee.
Don't we just elect new committee members in May at the start of the council year anyway? We can do every year.
Do you want to wait until May?
There's only one more meeting, isn't there? So there's a meeting.
Yeah.
There'll be a meeting in March and then a meeting in May. So. Mm. We can wait till May.
Yeah, there's just April meeting.
Yeah.
Wait till May and then do it as
a round of elections for the new
committee. I just think that because of this committee, that certain councillors can't vote on certain things, and because of their declared interest, I would risk that because it's such a busy committee, maybe we should make an allowance and have increased the number of councillors that can be on this committee to avoid any conflicts. Make just this one, because
so we then need to look at the terms of reference, which we can always go to.
Yeah, if we could do that for May, that would be
Good. There's a
full category. We have for the other committees. We have people clamouring to be on them. But this one, because we cover so much business.
So if we had, would ten allow everyone who wants to be on it on?
That's seven.
You need to think as well. Do you want, if all 16 potentially wanted to be on, I think there should be a restriction on numbers, whatever that number might be. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're talking full council.
Full council. You might as well be full council. Okay. Well, let's put it on the agenda for May, June, please. And we can have a look at terms of reference.
Is
and
it just Mark and Bernie who want to join? Do you want to
be aware
of any others?
Not aware of any others.
Not
aware. And we'll know in May. As well. Okay, thank you. Ben.
Can I just raise a point with that? You say, is anybody else interested? I think the fact that other councillors haven't really shown an interest in any of the other committees that we've had so far is I'm thinking that the three that have already been mentioned are probably the ones that are most interested in it. I haven't heard that anybody else be interested. I don't know if Frank Pennington is interested in joining the Amenities Committee.
I don't know if Frank, because I mean, he's recently had his bereavement, hasn't he?
So yeah,
he
exactly.
He might want to get more back into council. I don't know.
Yeah. So. We'll know more. But maybe we can always ask prior to see about numbers as well. Just give us a bit of a heads up. And then, okay.
We can still, even though we can't vote, like say Green Votes, we can't vote on that. We could still take part in the discussion.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just
when it comes to vote. It depends on the nature of the interest, whether you can vote or not.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Right, we'll move that one for May. Thank you. Agenda item number 6. This is the Green Gates Community Park. So we're to receive a verbal report from our clerk following a meeting held with Stevenson Halliday. There are project managers. And Horticon, and they are the contractors. That was held on the 5th of March.
I'll just give a brief overview and then I'll pass to the two councillors who also attended. It did feel as though it was a positive meeting. We discussed all the snagging list that we'd got, particularly the speaking tubes and the roundabout and why that wasn't working. Following that, we did have a date for the snagging list to be considered, which was last Wednesday. Last week, Wednesday and Thursday. I have had pictures back from the works that were done and it looks as though everything's been done satisfactorily. New planting has happened where the planting had failed. The seed bags are being reseeded. The roundabout was looked at. There were concerns about whether there were the issues with the bearings and apparently it's not. There's a closed unit and it's to do with greasing it. And the speaking tubes, the ground's been dug up, the speaking tubes have been reconnected, and there's been a patch repair gone on the play surface. So it is looking positive, and we are going to be maintaining it and keeping the momentum up as we go forward. We have an independent Rossborough inspection happening tomorrow, which again will, once we've got the report from that will be fed back to Stevenson Halliday, and that will be an independent report looking at where we are with the programme now and exactly what the issues are as of tomorrow. So that could be illuminating, it could be hopeful. Anyway, the report's coming out, it's being done tomorrow, we should have it within 10 days. And I don't know, Richard, do you want to add first?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. First of all, communication obviously has been lacking greatly between the two parties, Stevenson Halliday and Horticon. The usual excuses, and to be honest, I think everyone's getting a bit fed up of the fact that we're well past COVID now, but yet COVID seems to be the thing that Horticon bring up all the time. Well, if it had to be for the play equipment arriving late, if it had to be for this, if it had to be for that, well, you could say if it had to be for the price of the stuff, we would have gone somewhere else and go on and on and on. One of the things that I was quite amazed about is the fact that the roundabout, apparently they've had this problem elsewhere, but unfortunately it seems that they've discovered it since the roundabout was put in at Green Gates, and that is there's water ingress, not into the bearing as such, but there are wheels on the underside. Water's getting into the wheels, and that's what's causing the problem. Now, there are some different types of wheels that are designed to run in water. And they've now realised that. Now, they said they were going to go back to the manufacturer because the manufacturer of the roundabout on Green Gates is slightly different to the manufacturer.
They have been back to them and they've said that it's in a sealed unit, there are no wheels, there are no bearings to get messed up, and it's all to do with greasing.
Right, so it's a maintenance problem then. It's nothing to do with the design. I did wonder whether that should be a sealed bearing, because it seems ridiculous to put an unsealed bearing into an area that's potentially going to get water ingress. I asked if there'd been any kind of geographical work on the area to see about flooding, because it's at the bottom of the hill, you wouldn't think there'd any water coming down. And Stevens and Halliday said they just did a topographical survey. Now, to me, that just means they took a picture of the top of it and not dealt any further down. Which I think, when it's something that's as involved as what it is, and it's play equipment, and they know what they're putting in, I would have thought they said it was to do with cost, but they never even raised, as far as I'm aware, the cost of doing that with the council in the first place. So it's not something that we could have said yes or no to. So they were my comments, but as has already been mentioned by the park, it was the fact that they have done what they've said they were going to do. Unfortunately, I believe that things have progressed slightly forward of that. So some of the work that we've done isn't necessarily as it was.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
I've been down today. The roundabout does seem to be running more smoothly than it was. Whether they've done anything at it, I don't know. It's terribly flooded. And as far back as I can remember, that never used to flood down at the bottom like it is now. I think that's because of the earthworks. Because it's the earth's been disturbed. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's like a bog.
Didn't we have surveys done at the initial people, the RSK did the initial work on that?
Stevens and Halliday,
That's the same
thing. Topographical survey, which perhaps didn't go deep enough or consider what was going to happen when you started moving it.
They've all reclaimed marshland. They must have known that.
But I can't remember, I don't ever remember that field being that boggy.
Because it was never disturbed.
It wasn't. And now it has been disturbed. It is just waterlogged.
And the play equipment we had on were just on concrete bases and they slide and swing.
And I just think because of how the earthworks have been moved.
Playground
was
made in the top corner, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But say taking up, putting in pathways and other.
Yeah. And it's all down at that side. Yeah. And it is just waterlogged.
But we are having a lot more rain these days.
They did say that they had put a drain in, but it's obviously not sufficient. Obviously, it needs to be looked at. But as far as everything else is, well, apart from the other issue we've had, the grass has been cut, all the planting's been done.
Good.
I didn't actually try the tubes out, because I would have felt a bit of an idiot on there.
Run to the other one and down.
Well, I did have the dog and I was just pushing it around and I was expecting someone to shout jump on, but we didn't.
Can you imagine?
But obviously we've got the issue of the vandalism that's happened, so.
We have.
I was just...
So the vandalism today has been, well, whatever it happened, has been quite shocking. So we've replaced the trellis work at the top end, where there are the seats for multi-generational use to sit and look and enjoy the view and plants to grow up. It's already been vandalised once when it was a metal trellis and it's been climbed up. Unfortunately, the pictures that Bernie sent through today, there's a big panel sort of near the size of that wall, it's just been smashed out. It was fitted out on Thursday afternoon. The work's finished at 4 o'clock. And by today, it's completely smashed up, it's completely gone.
They kicked the bottom in, and where the two metal brackets are
sort of sticking out,
they've sort of burst them open, so obviously they could take the trellis out
and then smash it up.
And then it's very neatly smashed in the corner.
So I've reported through, I didn't do it through 101 because I couldn't get through, so I used the online reporting system and reported it to the police. I've got an incident number. I reported to Neil, our PCSO. He's on Lake Saul this week with a colleague, so he will be doing regular drop-bys. I put forward something that I'm going to put onto social media tomorrow on the website and social media. I'm not using the words I'd like to use, so I'm really more diplomatic than that. But even so, just expressing the town council's disgust, really, with the resident who felt, or residents who felt that was appropriate. In addition to that, there's dog mess in the grassed areas, which is...
Well, people still take the dogs in there and let them off the lead. That's the problem, isn't it? It's
not people walking dogs in there. Well, it does say that dogs must be kept on a lead.
Yeah, but people still let them off the lead.
They do.
I mean, I have challenged two people about... Well, they know me and obviously have put the dog on the lead as soon as they've seen
me. Because that's why they like it, because they can let the dog off the lead.
Yeah, but if they're not prepared, even if the dog's on the lead...
They've got to pick up,
and if they don't, the dogs will just be banned and prayed, won't they?
Yeah.
It's just not acceptable.
It's policing it, though, isn't it?
It is policing it. I have been through the Cheshire West procedure to see if we can get a dog order to prevent dogs in there at all. I know it doesn't meet the legislation because it's not imposed, and it is a multi-generational use.
Yeah.
Not just for children, not just for toddlers.
So it only applies to like the little enclosed.
To Park Lane, for example.
Yeah.
We could have a dog prevention order there, but
only
we can't.
In that little bit.
Only in that little bit. So it's difficult to know what we can do. What I have done is I've ordered a stencil, which basically shows a dog pooping with a line through it saying no fouling, and chalk paint. So I'll go up there and I'll wear a stencil with chalk paint on the. On the pathways and pavements, and it's just an additional attempting deterrent. It's not cost 15 quid for the two things, and it's just another attempt as a reminder.
To be fair, it's not horrendous. It shouldn't be there at all. But it could be a lot worse. It could be like Saltworks, and it's not at the moment.
Well, the thing
we need
is
to keep it.
The lighter nights are coming, the warmer weather's coming, more people are going to be out with the dog.
Yeah. And I think the majority of people are abiding by it. They aren't, you know, they're not letting the dogs off and foul everywhere. It's just a certain few, and a certain few that let the dogs go wherever.
Yes, sorry, Richard.
I think it's the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? You know, it starts off as only one or two, and we all say, you know, the majority of people are okay. I mean, dogs are dogs, aren't they? Once the dogs start to defecate in certain areas, then it becomes a free-for-all for any dog, doesn't it? And it's whether people say, well, they didn't pick theirs up, so why should I do that? Now, I know we've got bins there, but we haven't got specifically dog bins, have we? Now, I don't know whether that would change people's approach.
The dual purpose.
You can't have got the small bins then.
No, they just do the all purpose.
I mean, there's three bins there, there's no excuse, is there?
No, there is no excuse.
And even if you have to take it home. It's still no excuse.
The other option is, should we provide dog bags? We could do that.
I did think of that, but are the kids just going to pull them out and distribute them everywhere?
Yeah, probably.
I think it would be a shame to ban dogs altogether.
We can't ban dogs.
I know we can't, but it would be quite sad to do that, because there are a lot of people that own dogs that are responsible, and it seems a shame to penalise everyone.
Joe, as well as putting obviously the information on social media so that people are aware that there's been shameful vandalism there, we did speak previously at one of the meetings about putting a cost to this so that people are aware of actually how much the trellis was in the first place and then the cost of replacing. People need to be aware these things don't happen free of charge.
No.
You know, every time there's vandalism, it costs money.
The trellis is not
local clean.
Not a problem. Do we replace the trellis?
It's there. It won't
be there. I asked for it to be removed because it's been smashed.
I don't think it's been smashed. I think it might have just fallen apart.
But it's one sheet.
Yeah.
So to put it back together, the cost...
Would it be more
cheaper to replace it than to repair?
It's beautiful trellis.
But do we do it?
Is there an alternative? I mean, you said we've had metal.
We've had metal.
It's more like it's like a chain link fence type, which is first trellis.
I think we've got to be careful here then, that we're not apportioning this blame to vandalism if we don't now say it's falling apart. Because it's a centre section, I mean, why have they vandalised the other two sections?
Have we put it as criminal damage rather than vandalism? Criminal damage rather than vandalism.
Criminal damage then. What I'm saying is, has it fallen apart or is it criminal damage? Are we saying somebody's deliberately done it or are we saying...
Oh, yeah, it's not fallen apart. I mean, what I meant was, as it's come out...
It's not just been flimsy and fallen down.
No.
Yeah,
metal
brackets
all the way.
Lucy? Yeah, so my suggestion, it does look like it has been done properly. It also could have been two people wrestling and messing around and one of them pushing the other one and they've been pushed in.
No, it's not that flimsy. We do know what the investigation was for the trellis.
Perhaps as to how we can get past this would be to make it a bit stronger. By adding some wider pieces of wood that would be horizontally going across that would be reinforced.
It's very sturdy, Lucy. It is very sturdy.
Well, it's very strong specification.
If we had, say, three horizontal pieces of wood, it would be stronger.
It's obviously been booted out of the bottom very
early. If
you
want to smash it out, they'll smash it out.
Smash it out or the climate,
I would like to just replace it personally because the other panels are still there.
I'm inclined to agree. Okay. We need to replace it.
Can you quote the price? But also, it costs so much to have it done on Thursday.
Yeah, that's what you've
said. Yes,
yeah.
The cost of putting it in the first place and then replacing it.
I want to encourage the people who live around there and walk past them to be telling them as soon as they see any damage happening.
There shouldn't be any damage.
You know,
but I just
imagine
workful.
Probably older kids that are
doing
it when
it's
going dark.
Maybe.
Because they'll go sit in there.
Can I make one suggestion and then I won't say anymore? If you replace it now and then see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
So see it now and then we revisit it. And then that's where, because my concern is, and I take it what Councillor Lowry is saying, is replace it. Councillor Sumner says is replace it with something stronger. Mm. But how far do you go? Before you keep replacing it, and it costs money, and it costs money, and it costs money. And then it becomes a challenge to the people who've done it in the first place, that they wanted it, well, this town will have a better go at it, we'll take someone with us to knock
it out. Is this intended just for plants to grow?
Yeah, it is.
So they might as well start damaging the plants once they grow.
Not. Okay. Right, thank you very much for your thoughts on that. Just a shame that we had to discuss it.
Yeah.
So agenda item number 7 is the town clerk. Again, we received a verbal report from our clerk following a meeting that was held on the 6th of March with Cheshire West and Chester Highways Officer Cumbria Cox, KDE and Blue Arrow Traffic Management.
Okay, well, the meeting was held and we've come up with a workable solution. We're looking at the works beginning on the 2nd of April, but that depends on Highways getting a temporary traffic regulation order sorted out before that date. The initial works will be half a day. There'll be a temporary pedestrian crossing put in place where the traffic lights are now, which will be manned by Blue Arrow to advise people how to cross and safely cross the road. We'll have half a lane closure to allow a high up to get in there to take the top off the clock tower, and that will be probably 3 or 4 hours maximum on the 2nd. There'll then be a gap of 6 weeks, so all the traffic management will go away then. 6 weeks for the clock itself to be refurbished, and then they'll come back and there'll be another 3-day closure to get the clock back on the top and to strip and paint the column. So that's all being agreed. I'm just waiting for risk assessment, insurance documents, and traffic management plan from Blue Arrow for that to go ahead. We have managed to persuade Cheshire West to waive the £773 cost of a temporary traffic regulation order, which I'm really quite pleased about. So we will be back, hopefully, to within the 15,000, which will include the Blue Hour traffic management plan.
So that's the first day is just after Easter then?
In the school holidays,
yeah.
On the second.
The £730, is that something that they would have charged Blue Arrow and then Blue Arrow would have charged us?
No,
would have charged us. We're the ones instructing the work, so would have charged the Town Council. They have just changed their regulations from January 2024. I'm avoiding the Christmas issue just now.
Yeah.
Great. That's brilliant news, Jo. Thank you so much for organising that.
Yes, it's a good to get four different organisations all in the same place at the same time.
Absolutely.
So we're getting there.
Great. And I'm sure it's going to look super when it's done. Yeah. Agenda item number 8, active travel. So we're going to receive a verbal update from Councillor Eakin. And just note that Transport for Wales will be providing funding to print and install active travel maps / information boards at Frosham Wetway Station, with North Cheshire Community Rail Partnership funding the artwork. And thank you very much for circulating the poster this morning with some additional notes for us.
Yeah, so apologies, I had to get the most recent update, which I couldn't get until Friday, and then for various reasons I couldn't get out until Saturday. So good news is that one of the things the Active Travel Working Group was keen to do was just get a bit of information, particularly for visitors to the area who come by public transport. How do you get around Frosham and its various sites without having the car? But also that information is still absolutely valid for residents as well. And so we have the idea for these maps, which have some of the points of interest locally, some of the historic buildings highlighted, just for a bit of to draw the eye essentially, but also then information on this is how you get to, you know, the Arts Centre in Castle Park, taking you past the shops. This is how you get up the hill, this is how you get to various places. The good news is that we were able to get the North Cheshire Community Rail Partnership to help with the costs for this, because the focus was going to be on the railway station, so there was a link there, and that falls absolutely within their remit, and they had money to contribute towards those sort of projects. So that helped us get an artist in, and then through some very diligent work by Mark Warren and the North Cheshire Rail Users Group, Transport for Wales have also agreed to cough up and actually get them printed and installed at the station. The only downside to that is that because they want to do it in this financial year, we have a little bit of a more accelerated timetable than we had anticipated, because previously there wasn't that much of a rush on this. So I've circulated the latest version of the map to you, so I'd very much appreciate it if you do have any strong feelings or opinions, if you need a feedback now, or also email me as well. And then we will basically take that on feedback to the artist and get that worked up. Although it's being funded by elsewhere, I want to make it clear it's the Active Travel Group that's provided essentially the input into the map's content, style, artistic direction, and I think that should be reflected in the board itself having the Frosham Town Council logo on it when this is installed. We would also ultimately like to get this installed on the two main bus stops in the centre of town, which we are working with Cheshire West with. That is unlikely to happen, but it won't happen before the end of the month, so I suspect at some point Frosham Town Council may have to cough up some money for that. But obviously that will just be printing and then installing. So yes, over to the floor, and I know Judith had her hand up there.
I'm just concerned that some of the pubs are going to be very unhappy because you've got a really big image of the Bearsport and the Ringer Bells, but no other pubs, Town Centre pubs.
Yes.
And churches, you've only got the parish church and the Main Street church. Right. So I just think those, the people that have got businesses, churches, and missing out on that will be quite unhappy about that.
Yeah, and we've had many, many discussions about this. No business is identified specifically, okay? So any logos have been removed from any buildings. The biggest problem with any map that we do is that we have a lot of wonderful buildings in the centre of Frodsham, and if you try and put them all on, you won't see the wood for the trees. So yeah, we definitely appreciate that, and we had to make a decision. The Bears Paw was picked because that and the sandstone trail marker is a very clear, definitive sort of centre point, and also worked quite well. If you then include the, as you get towards the Ark Centre and Castle Park, that then starts to take up a lot of space, and we also have a market in there as well. Whereas as you come up towards Ring of Bells and the church, there isn't as many other things up there. So those two kind of are able to sit on their own. Yes, the bowling green's not in the right place on the map. It is there. The artist has just said, I don't know what's going on.
The Overton one. Not the Red Lion one, the Overton one.
Where's the Overton one? It's right, it's on the bend. The green bend.
When you go in, the white cottages, is just before they actually have the little wooden pavilion out of the park up there, and we gave them a grant to refurbish it.
It's next door to the vicarage.
Right, okay, fine.
A bit above the vicarage, isn't it?
Fine, okay. So we can tinker with the location, certain things, that's something to be done. But yes, there's always going to be compromises on these maps because you can't have them all, basically. And the idea is not to put people's, that's not to tell them to go to specific places, it's to give them an idea of what's in the general area. But yeah, I take your point. Somebody's always going to be unhappy, basically.
Yeah, I think it's a quite large visual of the Bears Paw and know what the pubs is.
Well, it was really the age of the buildings as well. So Queen's Head we discussed, didn't we? And it was, you know, because that's old.
That's older than the Bears Paw, yeah. Queen's Head.
Yes, I know. Yeah. But it was exactly what Patrick was saying, there's a lot to fit in on Main Street. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why St Lawrence is there and not the other churches, because it's listed in Doomsday, and Grade 1 listed. Yeah. So it wasn't partisan.
Yeah,
it
was, so the Main Street Community Church is in the town centre, whereas St Lawrence's is
the
It's not as old as St Lawrence's, it's
sort of
kind of iconic, isn't it?
So that would... But it's got a blue plaque and stuff on it, hasn't it? One of the local ones, and so. But there is a lot on the main street. We had a lot of discussion.
Yeah,
about this.
One of the walks highlighted is the historic buildings of Frodsham Times, and it just takes you through that. So that will hopefully also tie in with the work that the Heritage Science Group is doing, and will take people past a lot of these buildings as well. So it's trying to find the right balance.
Forgive me, I'm not trying to be pedantic here. But just behind what is classed as an historic building, which we all know is the Bears Paw, behind there you've got something that looks like a cricket pitch.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a cricket pitch, is it?
It's a cricket pitch. It's actually down Moore Lane.
Down Moore Lane. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. I didn't know that was supposed to represent the bowling green.
No, if you go down where Marshlands is, it actually sits alongside Marshlands.
And is that used then, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. You get what I said.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's supposed to provide a little bit of an artistic interpretation of the time.
Yeah,
I understand. At one time, it used to be
playing school.
It's great.
I think
it's really good.
Thank
you very much.
Yeah. The there will also be some leisure walk routes, so some longer walks and some cycling routes on there, which will be accessible by the QR code. And we would like a second QR code to link to Frodsham Town Council's website as well. Now, ideally straight to an actual travel page, but I suspect, just given the time limits, we won't be able to get that actually set up in time. So we'll probably just link it to the homepage for Frodsham Town Council, just so people can get some more information from there, if that's acceptable.
It is, but you do have enough time.
Do
we? Yeah, we can do that within 2 days.
Okay, so maybe we should get a link to an active. Well, if we get just an active travel section set up on the website, it can be blank for the moment. It doesn't have to be live, and then we can just use that QR code to link to it. Perfect.
On that point,
would
we be able to talk to our web provider, because I know we use WordPress and there's a plugin that you can use that would work with the app that we need to commute, and you can embed that in the website.
Perhaps we could look at that for future stage, but I guess the first thing we need to do.
Yeah, we just need to get that to begin with, and then we can.
So you can get the QR code set up.
Yeah, just cover it.
Brilliant.
So that is mostly that at the moment. There's nothing else urgently to update on the active travel group because we're sort of more focused on getting that done before the end of the month. You want your chair, so you can move on to item B, that's fine. And if you don't want any more, I will.
Oh, great, that's massive. Thank you so much, Patrick, and thank you very much to the Active Travel Group. I know you've put a lot of work and time into this, so it's great that we can see something really positive that's going to happen.
Cross-aid.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'd
agree with that.
Great. Thank you. Agenda item number 9 is our community orchards. Just a note. Oh, sorry.
Can we just check the bike maintenance event? Where is it taking place?
At the community centre Fields on the Fields.
Thank you.
In the rain, if it rains, in the sunshine, if it's sunshine. And I think Neil's going to be there. Is he confirmed?
Yes, going to be.
Yeah, Neil's confirmed. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have our gazebo by then.
Yes. We are hoping so. We're going to get a test run.
Just don't get any mud on it.
Yeah, I guess starting that first outing.
Great. Okay, apologies, Joe.
Thank you.
So, agenda item number 9 are community orchards. Just to note that a meeting has been arranged with Mersey Forest for the 9th of April at 1 o'clock. They'll be visiting each of the orchards and our green spaces with us to help us to do a complete survey, and hopefully we'll be able to access some funds for additional trees, shrubbery and or orchard trees as well. So, and just a note, the clerk has submitted an expression of interest for Cheshire West and Chester Council for potential funding for volunteer days, trees and stakes as well. So we're going to tie those two together when we know roughly where we can plant more trees, hopefully. Agenda item number 10, this is the Carvin Road Cemetery. Just to note, unfortunately, there has been a theft of a marble plinth from the cemetery, which has been reported to the police and to our PCSO. The plinth was awaiting a headstone to be fitted, so goodness knows why somebody would even consider stealing a marble plinth whilst waiting for a headstone. Inconceivable.
Did the owner of that plinth report it to us?
Yeah, can I just note it was a child's grave?
Oh, gosh.
Exactly. It's horrific. And we've never had anything like this happen in the cemetery before, and I hope we never have anything like it again.
And our insurance doesn't cover us for that?
No, the stonemason has kindly offered to replace it to free of charge.
That's really good. Can you pass our thanks on to the stonemason, Joe? Mm. Thank you. Agenda item number 11. This is the Top Road play area. Just to note that 82 consultation letters have been sent to residents with a date of the 15th of March for responses. I know Joan has received some responses already. The Frodsham Church of England Primary School has also been invited to take part in the consultation because that sits in within the ward itself.
Can I just... I just wanted to show you the photographs of what it's looking like at the moment. Well, we're going to be able to see the. It's a quagmire, an absolute quagmire. So, I don't know whether you can see that.
Is it just, the feed leading up to it, is it?
Yeah, it's just churned up mud bath.
Is this walking through the land that we don't own to
yes,
get to it? So
it
we
is.
Can't actually.
We can't do anything about
we
it.
Can't
but
put
that,
any
that,
kind of pathway in.
That's the footpath. It's completely and utterly churned up. It looks like that.
You have cattle in that field, don't you?
The cattle's been in that field for a long time. Yeah. They are bullocks. They are castrated bulls. They are supposedly non-harmful, non-aggressive, but even so they put people off.
They're just called child. They're enormous, aren't they?
They are enormous. I have to say, personally, I don't like them.
But we can't actually make a better pathway through.
No,
we can't.
The problem is that you can't get through to it. There's been feeding stations have been set up partway through the field, which actually block the public footpath as well. So I am going to pursue that with Cheshire West and Chester.
They have got a new public rights of way officer now, haven't they, in Cheshire West and Chester?
Yes. So I'm going to take that up with them. It is just unbelievable how what it has become. So these are the walkways through it. The landowner or the cattle owner has put a fence up partway through the public footpath. So the only way to carry on through that is to climb over the metal five-bar gate to get up the footpath. So it has effectively been fenced off. I don't think it's by the landowner. And just going back to how it was, that's how it used to look.
Yeah.
Rather than that is back in 2007, so it was some time ago, but it was like that when I started in 2019. Mm-hmm. So the cattle are quite pleasantly separated by a fence and a gate from the access, there's pretty cows, to the play area. And this is the view from the same person's garden as what it looks like now. So it has completely and utterly changed. The main comments that I'm getting back are that the access is appalling. Children are frightened of the bulls. You can't get a buggy down there. You can't get kids up there to the play area. But unfortunately, we've got no control over any of that. It's not our land. I believe it's part of Fear Fees, which is Church of England land, who have let it out to a small
holder. Is it the same Fear Fees that own Chamfield Lane?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Can we approach them though? Because they've got no idea of this issue.
Yeah.
It's,
we were very closely with the Fear Fees when we were
referring
to Chamfield.
So I will follow it through all avenues, through public rights of way, through the landowner and also the cattle owner as well, and see if we can address it in any way. The consultation doesn't finish until the 15th of March, so that's the end of this week. And so once that date hits, I will compile all the information that we've got. Yeah. So it's gone out to 88 residents plus every parent of the school, and so far I've had 18 responses. But I mean, an 18 might not sound very good out of 88, but it is actually a good response to a consultation.
Yes.
The weight of feeling is there, but I'm finding it difficult to see how we as a town council can solve the problem.
Unless we can actually improve access for the children, then there's little point in investing heavily in the playground. Mm-hmm. But if they can't get to it, they can't enjoy it.
Yeah. Is that what the owner of the animals is hoping?
We don't know, that's also the position.
Yeah, I know. No,
I think we need to go down the. We need to do the consultation and speak to the people involved before we start.
She spoke to us, was it about 18 months ago?
She
spoke to us about the cattle.
I'll feed it back, but I am going to wait until the consultation's over and I've got all the responses in, then they can all be sent out.
Yeah. We can still make sure the public right of way is enforced before the consultation is finished, because I think we should be doing that. That public right of way is clearly there's an attempt to obstruct that right of way. Whether intentional or not, but it's being blocked.
It's also used by dog walkers to go to the caves, unless you've got a very small dog, it blocks your path.
Yeah, so I think we can take that with public rights of way officer and.
So I will start all that, but I'm going to wait until the consultation is finished. Then I've got all the evidence to send through.
That's great. Thank you very much, Jo. Agenda item number 12. So there are quite a few quotations that have been received. So the first is to consider a quotation for work to replace a bin and install a new big bin unit and remove graffiti from the swings. So I was just a bit, didn't know which play area that.
I've got a big bin.
Greenfields.
Oh,
it
says a new Big Ben unit.
The bin is called a Big Ben.
Yeah.
Where is it?
So which
play area is it, Joe?
Green Gates.
Right.
There's no graffiti on the swings. Not as far as I know.
There is at the back on the wooden leg.
No, there wasn't.
There was a little bit on the roundabout.
Right, so it's removing graffiti from the swings. I'm sure that they're doing the swings, they'll do the roundabout. The main cost there is the Big Ben unit. Well, so there's a lid missing. You can't buy the lid. So you either replace the bin or you don't.
Right. They have replaced the bin there once, with the top of it once before.
It's no longer available.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay. Well, considering we've just heard about all the recent dog fouling, I do think we need to replace
another bin.
The bin.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Is everyone happy that we replace that bin?
Yeah.
That's approved, Joe.
Thank you.
Is that going to be a multi-handle proof bin?
It'll be anchored. So you can't remove it or move it.
Okay. So, yes, is the answer to that question.
You can graffiti it.
We won't want to have them graffitied,
are we? Maybe we just have a competition again in case to graffiti them all.
We were going to have them all painted. That never went ahead.
No, it didn't.
So, second item, to consider the quotation to cut the hedges and trim the laurels at Ship Street Orchard. Everybody happy for us to
Should we do that or wait for the visit from
Mersey Forest is to look at planting rather than maintenance.
Okay.
Everybody happy with that? Okay, Joe, that one's approved. A third one, to consider the quotation to provide an additional bin on the memorial site.
I'm getting reports after weekends that the bins are full. There's a lot of litter up there.
Okay, there are three bins up there, aren't there? I must admit, I spoke with the Brombles and asked them to basically do a little bit pick up there on a Sunday morning in particular after a Saturday evening, and just to kind of report back how much litter is up there and how much is being picked.
There are regular litter pickers up there, yeah. Not just from people that have done it.
We do it
as part of the grounds
maintenance
SLA
as well.
Do we want to wait until we've got some feedback from the Brombles about how much litter is up there? Just seems, I don't know, just by putting another bin up there when we've got three there already. I don't know what people's views.
I haven't done much lately.
I don't think if there's 3 or 30, if they're not going to put the litter in the bin, they're not going to put it in the bin.
I agree with the chair. I think we'll leave it and see what happens once the Brombles start pick up, and whether it justifies another bin or whether it's just a case of people not putting stuff in.
Yeah.
But just so they carry it up there, you know, like you bring your bottle of pop, you drink a bottle of pop, it's lighter then. Can't you just take it back to your car, or would you have in the bag?
You and I would.
Yes, I know. So, you know, it's just awful.
I used to believe in a perfect world, but I don't anymore now. People don't necessarily
take it. Okay. Well, let's get some feedback from the Brombles and let's see actually how much litter is up there, and then we can come back to this, Joe, if we need to. But I think Bernie's right. We could put additional bins up there, but getting people to put stuff in them proves difficult. So next one is to consider the quotation to replace the safety fencing over the bridge and to jet wash graffiti from the bridge at Church Fields.
Right. Oh, I've got my numbers mixed up.
So I think we need to replace safety fencing. It's there for a reason. Children do use that bridge to access the slide and other things, and if we've got graffiti on there, we should be removing that as well.
We're aiming to improve the look of Feltram anyway, aren't we?
Absolutely.
So that's a start.
It is. So is everyone happy to approve that one? That one's approved, Joe.
Thank you.
The next one is to consider the quotation to turf 4 plots and remove some branches from the top of the cemetery.
Yeah, definitely.
We do. The cemetery looks beautiful.
It does.
We need to keep it that way. Is everyone
surprised as far as cemetery, didn't we? When they did the best kept villages competition.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Everybody happy to approve that one?
Yep.
That was approved, Joe. Mm-hmm. Next one is to consider the quotation to provide a 5-bar gate at the end of the track alongside the Forest Hills Hotel on FTC land to prevent access by motorbikes.
We've got incidences again with motorbikes.
Yeah, but walk the path from Forest Hills, I walked up the weekend, unless you're going to replace all of the fencing and the barbed wire, there are places that can get through the niche.
Yeah.
And it's clearly worn away, so that's what they are doing. So a breach won't make much difference unless you're going to do the whole length of it. So I'd do that walk first before you make a decision on it.
There are lots of, I mean, just...
Well,
you can see where they put through the trees and the hedges, yeah. Where people... I'm not saying they're on bikes, but people just walk through.
Because it's only two strands of barbed wire, yeah. Cut and snip that easily. So I think you'd just be wasting your money putting a gate in because of access all the way along.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because we do want a deterrent for the bike. We've got that lovely gateway now.
But you don't
inside.
Want, yeah, I mean, you don't want to because it, people from Forest Hills that are staying there, mm-hmm. you can still use that path, and then
you've can only they've only got to walk 2 yards around though, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
So they've got to walk how far?
They've only got not 2 yards.
No,
but just out and around, I mean, another sign saying this way, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Richard?
Right, without making the same mistake that I did with the cricket pitch. Like, you know when you're at the memorial and you want to walk to Forest Hills, is it that gap there?
Yeah.
Is it
yeah.
that?
Yes.
So
yeah.
where we've gone for tea after
yes.
this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, thank you. So at least having the correct ballpark. I think it might be worth us having a look and see what's what,
yeah.
because there's no point sticking something in the gutter then. Make the way through between yeah. trees and it needs to be.
Yeah, I mean,
more
the Forest Hills have got the big gate that they never close, so they could stop motorbikes going up that path if they wanted to.
It is occasionally closed, but there's still a footpath which you can get. You probably can
get a little motorbike.
I'll go up there tomorrow and have a look and see what's wrong.
Okay.
I agree if it's just undergrowth that's sparse and they can make the way through whatever because they're on a bike, they're designed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that would be great, Richard. Maybe we can approach Forest Hills as well to see
what
they
can do
about closing their gate. Yes, please, Joe.
Maybe if we could work with Forest Hills,
because
they
probably thinking.
Don't want the problem either.
No, exactly.
No, for their clients going, they don't want motorbikes revving up and down, do they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Okay, we'll come back to that then with feedback from Forest Hills and Richard. Maybe we can ask the ground maintenance and contract it when the next up there that they could just do a quick survey on that peripheral.
Oh,
they have.
That's where the quotes come from.
Yeah.
They asked to do the path and prevent the guiders with a suggestion to prevent access onto our new path up the memorial, and that's what they came up with.
Right, okay. Okay. Right, we'll come back to that one.
We'll come back to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Finally, to consider the quotation to remove and dispose of the rotunda on Main Street.
Yes, please, it will come
back. Yes,
it is.
Is that art of one?
It was given to us.
Oh.
It's lovely. Okay.
Can I just ask, are we going to offer it to anybody else
who
wants to take
it? We're going to smash it up and dispose of it. I don't even know if it's going to come out whole.
If you'd like it, Julian, it's yours.
It'll stop people parking outside.
You can have it outside, yeah.
I was thinking maybe one of the schools might
like it. I think it's a mess, isn't it?
It's actually, yeah. It's not the most attractive, and it's...
How long has it been there? I can't
remember. It was gifted by Vale Royal, so... And I don't know, tell me.
Vale Royal didn't want it either,
exactly. So, are we happy to let
Joe take a sledgehammer?
Joe take a sledgehammer to you and dispose of
it. Get it down, are we?
And that includes reinstating whatever's gone on underneath there.
Yeah.
We're going to
okay.
sell it then for scrap. Get some money back.
It's metal and plastic, it's sort of a combination of
that. I know we spent a fortune putting new perspex. Covers on, didn't
they? No, we never did.
Oh, did we not?
They're still at Hawk Joinery. Because they're asking me what I want to do with them.
Okay. So, we're happy to approve that quote.
Yes.
Yes. That's a reasonable price for what they're going to be doing.
Is there maybe a time capsule?
Yeah.
If we find a fly tip rotunda, we're in a lot of trouble.
Yes, time.
Just put a sign and say, scrap, please take some more.
Agenda item number 13. So this is a tree dedication ceremony that's going to take place on Memorial Site. It will take place on the 1st of May, beginning at 10:30 a.m. And it will involve Tom Lundell, a British Empire Medal, the five local schools, and the High Sheriff of Cheshire. So the itinerary is going to be circulated nearer to the time. And that's the seven oak trees. So consider the quotation to install the seven pressure-treated posts, and these will have plinths on them to commemorate the Queen's canopy.
Oh, right. So they're going to be on the memorial field.
Yes.
On where we're putting them.
Yeah, they're going to be on the memorial field in front of each of the oak trees, dedicating the oak tree and the planting to each of those members of, well, Tom, the High Sheriff, and the five schools. And the High Sheriff's plinth is going to be dedicated to King Charles III coronation, and the remainder are for the Greens and the Queen's Green canopy. Is everybody happy with the quotation?
They're in the entranceway at Castle Park at the moment. They stand about that high off the ground, and they're going to go in the ground about 3-4 feet of concrete, so they can't be removed. And the plaques have already been installed on the top of them, and they're chamfered off, and they're very nice.
They look really nice. They do look really nice. And finally, then, for that item, to consider the quotation from Forest Hills Hotel to provide some refreshments after that commemoration. So basically we'll have a number of pupils from each of the schools, as well as hopefully members of the public that would like to come along as well.
We're expecting about 40. We did put an email through to say we're having this event, would you like to support us? And £2.50 a head we thought was very reasonable. They do always do Remembrance Day.
They do
free of charge for however many people arrive for that. Yeah. So we didn't really want to push it any further.
I'm happy with that quote. Is everyone happy?
Yeah.
Nice refreshments.
Yeah.
Thank you. Agenda item number 14 is our clerk's report. Jo, any additional?
I have nothing to add.
Okay, right. Item 15 is the date of our next meeting, which will be the 8th of April 2024 at 7 p.m. And with that, I'll close the meeting. Thank you very much.